You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor with myself, DJ Ambush, and Dr. Bukasi Dubé. You can check us out every single Friday morning at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. And make sure you're following us on all streaming networks, everywhere you listen to podcasts. How are you, sir? How are you doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing well, my man. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I've noticed, I'll take a slight pivot from our normal discussion, but I caught some news this morning on MSNBC. Lindsey Graham was encouraging some of his constituents to get vaccinated, and they booed him. And it was really interesting to just watch this pattern of, trying to get on the right side of history and trying to correct some of those past wrongs, and how misinformation can really just get out of control and kind of take the lead. So it's really interesting to watch,
Yeah. it's quite sad, right? We've seen this over and over again where politicians who were not forthright about these vaccines and were not forthright about the COVID-19 pandemic are now coming out and trying to be on the right side of history.
Right.
But the harm is already done. Right, it's quite sad.
Yeah.
I saw something recently about how Fox News has a vaccine mandate for all their employees, where they're required to be vaccinated. Right, and they actually have, as an organization, they have over 90% of their employees vaccinated.
Wow.
Yet they have been the primary source for vaccine misinformation, which is quite sad. I'm not telling people not to watch Fox. I'm not telling people not to watch CNN or MSNBC. I'm just saying this is what's out there and this is what's happening. And what we say and what we do has consequences. So
we
need to be very, very mindful of what we say and what we do.
Yeah, I mean, because this is totally avoidable. Where we are now with this level of misinformation, totally avoidable. But, those are the choices that they made, and now we're in a position where it's very interesting to hear that about Fox News specifically, especially when, what's the vaccinated percent? What's the percentage of their viewership that's vaccinated? Wow. Interesting. So this week we're going to be talking about increased drug use and overdoses during COVID-19. So we've heard that during the pandemic, substance use has increased. In the news, we're hearing that overdoses have gone up too. What have you been hearing about this?
So this is actually a very interesting topic because what we have seen is that over the last, I'd say, 10 years, we've been seeing a steady increase in substance abuse, and we've been seeing a steady increase in overdoses. And this pandemic's actually highlighted how this is playing out, how a lot of folks are getting caught up in substance abuse. To be frank, let's call it what it is, right? It's a disorder. It's a disease, just like diabetes, just like heart attacks, just like mental illness. It's a disease, and we have to treat it as such. In the past, the era that we made, right? If you look back, go back to the 60s, 70s, and the Reagan years, where the Just Say No campaign and the war on drugs. Yeah, that really stigmatized what this is about and what substance abuse disorder is about. And it's very, very, very unfortunate. And now that it's affecting everybody, not just Black folks, we've come to terms with the fact that it's a disorder, as opposed to people just being bad folks and
right.
People, yeah.
Right. Has there been any information with regards to what contributed to the increase? I can imagine, you know, from my perspective, a layman's perspective, not having access to any of the research and any of the data, that just, you know, us being in quarantine and people dealing with the psychological effects of you know, being desocialized and closed off and all of that, that could lead to some degree of increased use with different substances. So I'm sure that may have a factor. Are there any, you know, any data to support?
You know, so you bring up a very interesting point because there was this, so speaking specifically about a certain substance, which is in this case methamphetamine, there was a study that was in JAMA, which is the Journal of American Medical Association, that reviewed national drug use, studying from 2015 to 2019, and it saw a significant increase in methamphetamine abuse during that time period. It's true with other things, right? It's true with heroin, it's true with cocaine, it's true with crack. And I think part of what we see in the pandemic is that we are relational beings. Human beings are relational beings. And when we don't have the ability to connect, when we don't have the ability to do that which comes naturally to us, which is engage with other folks, relate with other folks, commiserate with other folks, it becomes very, very difficult. It takes a toll on our mental well-being. Mm-hmm. So we talk about drug use and overdose today, but what we should also focus on is other substances that are being abused at high rates, right? We know that liquor sales from March of 2020 to March of this year shot up, I mean, significantly. So people were not just abusing illegal drugs. Legal drugs like alcohol were being abused by folks as well. So there are a lot of things that we have to that we have to focus in on and realize that this pandemic has really highlighted those things.
What are some of the effects I guess it's going to depend from substance to substance, but what are some of the effects that this type of substance abuse can have on vaccinations and just the way we move around each other?
Oh, that's huge, right? When you're not thinking clearly because of a substance that you're abusing, you can imagine that people would not be inclined to do the basic things that they need to do. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, practicing good physical distancing. They're probably not wearing their masks. They're probably not prioritizing getting vaccinated. So as a result, the disease, COVID-19, spreads more easily and more readily in this population. And then with folks losing their jobs and a dramatic increase in houselessness that we're seeing, at least here in the Portland Metro, you can also see that playing out, in the number of folks, if you go downtown Portland, look at the number of folks that are experiencing houselessness right now. Yeah. It's quite sad. And I think it has contributed to the spread in COVID-19.
Are there any effects from a chemical standpoint that any of these particular substances can have on the vaccine?
Not that we know of. I haven't seen any studies that address that specifically, but not that we know of. And I don't think anybody has actually studied that. But that would be interesting to look at. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately what we know is that the vaccines work and they're very effective at preventing the spread of COVID-19. And whether or not one is using substances, it's still very, very important to get vaccinated.
Yeah. I've seen recently that with some of the mandates that have been put in place in different states, large swaths of people that were resistant or reluctant, rather, to being vaccinated are now getting vaccinated, which I think is pretty great. I was kind of celebrating that since our last call last week, watching the different news cycles and people in this state, a bunch of healthcare providers and a bunch of doctors, teachers are now getting vaccinated. Just kind of dipping back to our conversation we had with Dr. Heller last week, as she explained to our listeners and to me that 96% of the health community is vaccinated. Despite kind of the scare that the media has given us covering the smaller percentage that is resistant. But then to see that even within that community of those that were reluctant, they're now starting to be vaccinated because of these mandates. So it's really, really good. I mean, it's unfortunate that the mandates have to become stricter and that, you know, it does tie into someone's ability to earn in order for them to make the decision. But I am happy that they are making those decisions and have the ability, you know, to do that.
Yeah. Totally. I'm with you, my man, because we know for a fact that mandates work. Mm-hmm. I think the CDC has studied this extensively, and they've shown that mandates are very, very effective in moving people towards doing the right thing, which is getting vaccinated. Yeah. And we've seen this across the board. In whatever industry where they've instituted mandates, we've seen a significant increase in vaccination rates.
And it does say something what we've been experiencing and seeing within the houseless community with the clinics that we've been doing. It does say something about making sure that people have access to not just information, but access to the resources to make the proper decisions. I want to take the time to thank all the agencies that were involved with the clinics throughout the summer and the ones that are continuing to do clinics and providing incentives to houseless members of our community. And not to tie them directly into any substance abuse, but that it's common to see that within those communities as we are downtown and different places, people trying to use different measures to escape from all the different things that we're dealing with right now, the pandemic, also being houseless, any financial crisis. One of the premier substances that we're dealing with here in Portland is methamphetamines. The data says the use is going up. Do you have any information about that?
Yeah, so earlier I touched briefly on the JAMA study that reviewed the national drug use from 2015 to 2019, that saw a tenfold increase in methamphetamine use among Black folks. And so you can see that this is before the pandemic, right? We knew that this was an issue before the pandemic, and the pandemic just made it that much worse. We just have to be, we have to be supportive of each other. We have to be supportive of each other's needs and ensure that folks have are supported physically and mentally, so that they don't end up turning to using substances. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you have any insight as to why we have these disparities within different ethnicities and different communities as far as the drug use?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I like that question because it, just like the pandemic, right? Just like what the pandemic did in terms of showing us who is not being served by the current system, these disparities that we see, the tenfold increase that we see in Black folks and methamphetamine use, speaks to the fact that Black folks don't typically trust the system. One, two, they don't have access to good care. Three, it's not convenient.
Yeah.
If you have to catch three buses to get to your doctor, and you have to do that on your day off, or you have to take a day off from work, which you may not be paid to do that, what are the chances that you're going to prioritize that, right?
Right.
Probably not very high. And so this just highlights how the system is failing the under-resourced folks. And typically in this country, the under-resourced folks tend to be people of color. And like I said, the lack of trust in the system just makes things that much worse. The other thing that we don't typically talk about tied to the lack of trust is the discriminatory practices in the system, the implicit and explicit bias that occurs within the system that in a way encourages folks or pushes folks away from not seeking the care that they need.
Are there any specific examples that you have dealt with personally with regards to how substance abuse has impacted our community with in direct relation to the COVID vaccine and just overdoses?
I don't have any personal examples as a clinician, and I think I would get into trouble if I shared any patient stories, right? Yeah, but we do know that, right? If you're, I'm gonna shoot straight here. I'm gonna be very blunt. If you're high on something, you're not gonna get vaccinated. It's not gonna be a priority to get vaccinated. If you're high, it's not. If your goal is to get high, then getting the care that you need is very, very low on your priority list. And actually, your goals and your priorities are to get high. So you'll do whatever it takes to ensure that substance use disorder is fed, which is quite unfortunate. And our system is not very good at supporting such folks, right? We have a culture of blaming people for being ill.
What are some good resources that people can use to help cope with, I mean, the stress associated that leads people sometimes to drug use and substance abuse, or some local agencies they could go to help with, being able to kick these addictions? Do you have any information on
Man,
that?
yeah. So we have a lot of. I can tell you that there are a lot of resources in the community, especially in the Portland Metro. Right, we have a lot of. We have centers that allow people to come in and essentially detox. We have they're good shelters. Like the Union Gospel Mission and some other Catholic charities in the area that cater to folks who are looking to get clean. But there are other things that we can do as individuals, right, to make sure that we lessen the amount of stress that we're going through, right? Trying to talk therapy or trying to keep a journal, right? Writing down your thoughts. It's very cleansing to be able to put your thoughts down on paper. But if it's not cleansing to you, there are other things, right? Talk therapy, like I mentioned, or singing, or artwork, other forms of letting practicing that creative outlet. Exercise is a very good way to reduce stress, right? You can imagine if you're playing basketball, if you and you realize that you're not as quick as you would like to, you're gonna do the things that ensure that you become quicker. Or if you're playing soccer or you name it, or softball, baseball, you name it, right? It's a very, very good way to engage with other people, going back to how we are relational beings, right? Being in that environment where you're competing with other folks, you're being part of a team and exercising that relational nature of the human condition.
These are some of the exact same tactics that you mentioned very early in our series. We were just talking about different things to help us reduce stress, but also boost our immune system. Physical mm-hmm. exercise.
Precisely. Eating yeah. well.
Yes. Yeah. Eating
getting
well.
Getting enough rest.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And now we can add to the list taking a break from the news cycle, taking a break from social media. And then, yeah. and now that it's safer to be back outside because more of us are vaccinated, we can now add that to the list.
Yeah.
This past weekend was my first time back in the movie theater.
Wow.
It was very huge. We were watching we looked at a couple of different shows and kept watching the tickets to see how many people were buying for the theaters for different shows and different times of the day. And in none of the viewings did it seem like it was over 50%. So then we went to go see Venom over the weekend. And yeah, the capacity may have been at 35-40%. Of the theater capacity, and you know, it's the new seats now, so there's much more space in between you, and there's about a good 4 feet between you, maybe even 5 feet between you and the next row of people, and you're elevated. So, yeah. You know, they've been discussing and boosting that they've, you know, increased the ventilation and made changes in the HVAC, which, you know, I'll be 100% honest, I'm always leery about. When these large organizations, especially in the entertainment biz, are saying they made all the changes to make it completely safe. Okay. but we had our masks on the entire time, except for when we stopped to eat. And we're all vaccinated. So having those conversations with you, helping reassure that if you're vaccinated and you're asymptomatic, you're doing okay. You're doing all right. There's nothing to worry about until you actually start showing symptoms.
Yeah.
So we were able to enjoy it, and it was interesting. It was interesting to be back out there.
Let me ask you something. Were they checking your vaccination status as you entered?
No, they were not.
Ah, okay.
They were not checking a vaccination status. I don't want to get sued by any motion picture company, so I won't say what theater it was. but I did see on one of the theaters that they said at a certain date, I can't remember what the date was, and it might have been like an early October date, that at that point they're going to start requiring a vaccination status upon entry. So,
yeah.
that was interesting.
Yeah, just thinking about, you know, what you can do once you're vaccinated, right? You can go out and do these things. And when you have places that check your vaccination status, that reassures you, it gives you a level of confidence in that, you know, at least people that are showing up have taken the right precautions to make sure that they're not spreading the virus.
Absolutely. Requiring vaccination status and requiring that people wear masks does make me feel a whole lot better, depending on, you know, which venues and different buildings I'm walking into. I did come across a very, a really good social media post discussing the vaccine reluctancy within some of the NBA players. And this creator responded by saying, you know, because what the NBA player said was, you know, why get vaccinated if people are still contracting it? And then the creator was like, why practice if you're going to lose? You know? why are you getting up 4 a.m. to practice? Why are you spending all this time shooting jump shots? Why are you taping up your knees? Why are you doing all this preparation if
you're going to lose?
If you're going to lose. You know? Like, And I was like, well, there it is.
I think this illustrator is a Knicks fan. Hey, I don't have a problem with the Knicks. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah.
They haven't won anything in a very long time.
Facts. Absolute facts. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of what we need, you know, just some basic common sense reasoning around it. you know,
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I think we'll, you know, I think we'll be in a much better place, especially as we start looking at this is just being, you know, normalcy moving forward. It's just the new vaccine. It's just the new booster shot added
Yeah.
to your, you know, your annual vaccinations.
Two things. First one is I saw the coolest bumper sticker that I've seen in a very long time, which was it's a pro-life question mark, get vaccinated. Was like, man, that's awesome. That
Yeah.
was hilarious. Yeah.
More of that.
So the other thing is, people may not know how revolutionary mRNA technology is, messenger ribonucleic acid technology, which was used in the creation of the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. Man, so it's used in a lot of different things in medicine, right? We use it, it's been used in essentially CRISPR technology. It's used in certain cancers. It's been used in treating sickle cell anemia, and most recently, the people with childhood blindness.
Oh,
But the
wow.
flu shot, the Pfizer actually just started a trial with using mRNA technology for the flu shot. This is the way forward.
Wow.
This is where medicine is going, and we have to embrace it. We can't say, oh, it's new, so we're not going to do it. There was a time when we didn't have antibiotics, right? And they were new.
Right,
There was a time
right.
when we didn't have cars. We can't say, oh, no, I don't want to drive
Right,
in this
right.
in this vehicle. I want to stick to my horse buggy.
Every new day presents a new opportunity for new technology, new
Yep.
discoveries. Like we just, I think it's a, I think we've kind of reached the breaking point here where it's like, okay, enough of the excuses. If you don't want to get vaccinated because you're being mandated, say that. And let's just leave it at that. You don't want to be told what to do? Okay. I understand. I do not agree, but I understand that reasoning more than you saying you need to do research.
Yeah, but you still need to get vaccinated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I vehemently disagree with your position. I understand it better, but you still need to get
Yep.
vaccinated.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you so much, Doc. This has been a fun one. This has been a really fun one. Oh, man. So we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks, my man.
All right, now.
Oh, I should give a shout out to. I should give a shout out to our program manager, to our two program managers, Savannah Davis and Kim Whitbeck. They've been awesome in terms of
Absolutely.
getting this show going. And thank you very much for your support. And thank you to everybody else who works to support us for this show.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. All right, we'll catch you next
Peace.
week.
All
Peace.
right.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.